Hi, it's Arnold. Well, it's such a thrill for me to be able to speak to you. It really is.
Well, thank you very much. And I'm sorry about the mix-up on our, when we were trying to coordinate a time. But we got together anyway.
Well, that's all that
That's right.
matters. Well, I'm England originally, and luckily I was the youngest by a few years in my family, so I grew up listening to, in the 50s, listening to your music,
Oh
as a
dear.
young guy, as a young
That's
lad. And
a baby.
exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's I always enjoy, we had I know they had your album, used to listen to it, and I like to play your music on my show quite regularly, actually. I throw it in,
Well, thank you
and
very much.
I thoroughly enjoy it. And so yeah, I mean, you've well, happy birthday for last week as well.
Yes, the third. I
In,
won't tell you how old I am, but you probably already know.
yeah, we're both 39.
That's right.
But
Only in the waist.
oh,
Not really.
I know. Oh, that's good. But now, you've had a really what a remarkable career. You've done about everything in every aspect of showbiz. You seem to have been there and done it.
Yeah, I'd have. I've done a lot, and it was over about 6 decades or 6 or 7 decades that I worked, and so it gave me a chance to do everything.
Well, that's it. And now, are you still doing any singing or any appearances?
No, I'm not. I kind of stopped about a few years back, about 4 years, because I wanted to just relax. I had worked since I was 3 years old, so I thought it was time to chuck it in, and I did. So
Well,
I've been playing now for a couple of years, just playing.
That's
Oh, that's
lovely.
lovely.
That's really deserved. You should have no shame in that.
I don't at all.
But just this last couple of months ago, Vera Lynn was number one in the charts in Great Britain.
You're kidding.
No, she knocked off some of the newer kids. They re-released it because of the beginning of the war, I suppose, 1939, and they put her stuff out, and she went right to the top of the charts.
Isn't that wonderful? I loved her anyway. She was a wonderful. Is she still alive?
Yeah, she's like 93, I believe.
93. Oh, that must be wonderful for her to know that she has a top record.
It is. So, maybe that can inspire you to maybe get a re-release,
I
something going,
don't think so. I think they've heard my songs.
But going, way back to your start of your career, it's fascinating. What inspired you? Did some one singer, or did was it just something in the family? What
Well,
really set you on that course?
I come from a big family. I had five brothers and a sister, and my family were in show business, and so I started singing when I was three and became part of the act, and really never considered anything else. I didn't really know anything else, so. I worked as a cashier when I was about 16, 15, I guess, and then I said I don't want to do this, so I continued. I was singing that whole time, but I just said I wanted to be, in show business and perform, and because that's really what I grew up doing.
Right, so you were it, with that family, with your family,
Oh
working,
yes.
but then you sort of broke away, from them for a bit, and then came back to showbiz, but by yourself, in other words.
Right. Well, my father died in 1949, and so I was still in high school, so I you know, didn't want to do too much then. And then finally, my brother got me back into it, and I started singing again. And you know, in those days, we didn't make a lot of records. So I got back into it and really kind of went to New York and got on the Robert Q. Lewis show and got a record deal too. And so that helps it along, you know. Without those records, you don't know, you're kind of out in left field. But I was lucky enough to have a record deal, so I continued singing.
No, that's fantastic. And now, I mean, was there a system like the old film system where they would groom young starlets and things? Was the same thing with young singers? Did they do the
same? Oh, yes. I went with a small label, and in the beginning I had a deal. And then finally when I had, that's all, like, not, no, Life is Just a Bowl of Cherries, took off. And so from there I went to RCA Victor, and they groomed me and did all the fine tuning and the tension and everything there. And it was great. You know, I enjoyed it a lot. I had a PR people and, you know, everything sort of laid out for me.
Right.
And that was RCA Victor.
RCA. Did you go through with a group of singers?
I think Elvis Presley came into the organization from while I was there. And I can't think of any other younger performers. Because they had wonderful but wonderful artists. They had Lena Horne and, you know, and really good artists. And I think Elvis and I were the young people on the label. And I'm sure some other people, but I can't recall who it was.
Well, that's, you know, that's an interesting point. You know, the first half of the 50s was... you know, still the big band era, you know, big pop ballads, you know, those type of that stuff. And then all of a sudden, you know, Elvis hits in such a big way. What did that do to you? And that whole, I mean, that must have been such a huge impact.
Well, it wasn't to me because I was working all the time and I was sort of involved in what I was doing. And I still recorded all the time. And you know, it really didn't have an impact on me. And then from RCA Victor, I went to MGM Records, and I think Elvis stayed on RCA.
Yes, I
I'm
think
not
he
sure.
did. I believe he did. Yeah.
But I went to another label, and recorded, you know, whatever songs I did. I don't remember what they are. Most of the stuff I've recorded, I can't recall it. You know, I see there's a composite out now, and it has a lot of songs on there that I don't even know what they are. I don't even remember them.
Oh, wow.
You know, because I would go into a record date, and I'd do the song, and then unless it was something I wanted to put in my show, I wouldn't do it again. That was the only time.
Well, so you would just, like, walk into the studio, they would hand you a sheaf of papers, and you would sing and then leave, and that was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I didn't even see the songs until I got into the recording studio.
Oh, interesting.
And, I think it's much easier now. You can take a song on the road and work it and play with it and see what you want to do with it, and then go in and record. And it's much better that way because you have a sense of the song. And I never liked reading lyrics and things off of a sheet. And, you know, I just thought it was a cold kind of way to perform. And later on, I would take a song on the road and work it and see what happened with it.
Right, try and give it some soul.
That's right. A lot of times I missed, but I still tried.
Yeah, how was that? I mean, obviously, when you first started, you know, you were with big bands and things, and you had to. I imagine you did a lot of touring. I imagine you were most probably the only woman there, most probably a lot of the time. What was that like?
Well, I got used to it because I had five brothers, you know, so I was really used to it. But it didn't bother me. I didn't seem like it was unusual. You know, it just seemed like that was part of touring and part of performing. And I enjoyed it anyway. It was fun. And I had I would take musicians on the road with me. And so we became like a little family. Oh. And then I toured with my brothers too. We did an act together, did a television show in New York for one season, and then went on the road and performed. That was fun, being with your family, you know. I like that.
Oh, that must have been, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone knows what, you know, what everyone can do, and it's... Oh, that's a blast.
Yeah, it is.
Now, were there like in-family things? Did they play tricks on you, or you know those?
Oh, they
things
were always teasing me. My brothers have teased me all my life. It was terrible. They used to know that I was afraid of the dark, so they would hide in a room, a bedroom or something, and I'd come in, and this is when I was little, and they'd go wow and scare me out of my pants. And so they teased me all my life.
Okay.
I loved it though. They were good guys.
Oh, fabulous. And but yeah, it's interesting with music. I mean, as you say, sometimes you were just handed music, but did you have, you know, if a song came along or something you liked, did you have a chance to like, hey, I want to do this?
Yeah, I did that. I did it. But when I first started in recording, you know, most of the songs were picked for you, mm-hmm. and because they had a deal with the publishers, you know, and the publisher would promote it, and the record company would promote it, and so it was pretty cut and dry. But I'd pick certain songs that I liked. Can't remember what they are, but I liked them then.
Well, I think, you know, personally, what I liked about, you know, your singing style is, and the way you did the material, is you had a certain, the right way to say it, worldly or knowledgeable way of describing things or singing things. You know, you'd seen it somehow.
That's funny, because I hadn't at that time when I was younger, you know.
Huh.
But I felt I was very worldly, even if I wasn't. I don't know. I guess I don't know what people hear in my voice, but, you know, it's I'm glad they do.
Oh yeah, that was it. I suppose that's it. You know, once you put it out there, it's out there. You have no other control.
That's right. It's completely out of your hands after that.
Yeah.
The only time it's in your hands is when you're recording, and I love to record. I like it very much. It was one of my favorite things, and instead of performing in front of a live audience, I liked the intimacy of a recording studio. So I liked it a lot.
Was there one studio you always went to or yours liked more than others?
Well, we used to go to Avery Hall downtown in New York. It was a big big theater, and they changed it into you know, a recording facility.
Yeah.
And the reason we liked recording there is because the acoustics were so great.
Huh.
You know, everything sort of rang and had a feeling about it, and I liked recording there too. But I've been in a lot of studios that I liked recording. You know, it depends on what the tune is, what the song is, and you know, what you're going for. But there are a lot of studios. I've been in so many.
Right. It's but you know, there's nothing like that. I love that old big band, you know, sound is just nothing like it. You know, just the big sound, the lovely microphone voice, you know, just...
Well, and the band is there, too, and the band is recording right along with you. Except that sometimes, I remember some takes we made, and the band was... you'd get to the very last chord or the last few chords, and somebody would mess up in the string section, so you had to go do it again. And some takes were lost that way, you know, because later on they separated everything. And I like recording like that too, where you had control over it. You got your rhythm section going, and you got the violins were recorded and the brass, whatever, and so you could go in and take your time with vocals.
Right. Exactly. Really feel the music with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, did you in those days? Did you do much work in Vegas back then?
Yes, I did. I worked. I worked a lot I played every hotel in Vegas.
Mm.
And I did. I worked that. You know, that kind of regimen I did, you know, Vegas and Reno and Lake Tahoe, and that was kind of like a circle of engagements that I did.
Right.
So I did all of them, and worked Vegas a lot.
Do the other entertainers hang out? Did you hang out with all the others, or are you like so busy you're rehearsing that you like never see anybody else?
Actually, I used to hang out with my band because I liked them, and we were good friends and everything. And so that's who I hung out with. And, you know, other performers, your show is on at the same time they are, so you didn't have a chance to really party or do anything like that. And besides, when you work Vegas, you're so tired, you go to your room and go to sleep. And Lake Tahoe, too.
Oh, well, so they make you earn your keep.
Yes, you really do.
But it must be a lot, as I say, hanging out with your buddies and having a good time. That's great. That's what we can ask for.
You know, you can't do too much because you're working, and so you've got to be pretty disciplined. At least I was. I never went on stage or had a drink or any of that stuff. I was always felt like I was in training, and you really are kind of. You have to get enough rest and eat enough food and do all the other things and keep yourself healthy. And God awful, you can't get a sore throat or anything like that. It's just murder when you have any kind of sickness or anything like that. So
exactly.
I tried to stay healthy.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah, that people did have those regimes. Yeah, even you know we think of being so fit and careful now, but that was a requisite then as well.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I'm glad I did too, because it made me sing a little longer. You know, I could last.
Right. Very good point. Very, very good point. As we've heard, some who have maybe shouldn't have come back. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
over
true.
the years, you know.
Yeah.
Now, of songs you've sung, what are your favorite composers, and who do you listen to now?
Oh, well, I've been very lazy about that lately. But I liked different composers. I liked Rodgers and Hart, and the Cole Porter, and all the songs they wrote were just incredible, and I love them. But today I like David Foster. He writes good, well. He's a good composer, but I don't listen to too much now. I like Alicia Keys, and I also like what I've heard of Joss Stone too.
Oh yes, yeah.
Yeah, and I'd like to hear more of her. But I'm not. I've never really been a fan of singers. I've always liked musicians.
Oh really? So who would you kick back and listen to?
Well, I listen to a lot of instrumentals with the Brecker Brothers, and these were in the 70s and 80s and stuff. I'd take them on the road with me. But I
Yes.
haven't heard too much lately that I really like. But whatever jazz is going, I like that. That was
Yeah.
my favorite.
Oh, okay. You kept true to that.
Yeah.
Now it's interesting, for myself, as I was in America in the 60s and 70s, I missed a lot of your career when you switched to TV.
Right.
And you had your own show, I think, on the town. You had your own talk show.
Yeah, I did.
And I checked out some on the web, some excerpts, and I was quite shocked. You went from blonde curls to a straight black bob.
What happened there?
I
Well, I got tired of bleaching my hair, to tell you the truth. After a while, you just don't want to do it anymore. So that was the reason for that. It was just a lot more comfortable with my own hair, with my own color. And you can only do that so long, and then you become a Mae West. Who never changed over the years, who never changed your hairdo or anything.
That's
And
right.
that to me is just so funny. I couldn't ever do it. It was too real. And I know that she was a great lady and everything, but God, get over the hair.
Yeah, exactly. She had a certain image of herself.
She did, and that was the image from there on, forever. And I can't deal on that level. I've got to be more honest than that.
Exactly. No, that's great. But what was interesting on the talk show, one thing, you looked like you were having an incredible amount of fun. You weren't just like sitting back, and you were just roaring with laughter, really mixing in there. That was really good.
Well, I really was having a great time. If I've always been a laugher anyway, and so I'd rather laugh than anything, and I'd rather have a good time than go on a show and have, be a sad. What joy is that? Nobody wants to see you when you're down in the dumps or anything. That's just boring. So I always thought I would have a good time when I did anything, and I did.
Oh yeah, and did you get a chance to ask for certain guests, like, oh, I want to have them on, and could you do those type of things?
Sometimes, and yeah, that happened. They'd book somebody, and I would say, well, how about so-and-so, and they'd do that, too. They'd ask that they would find out about it. Yeah, they pretty much who I wanted was on.
Yeah. Oh, what fun.
Yeah, I mean, it is.
They're paying me for this, you know.
I know. That's exactly the way I felt. They didn't know it, but I did.
It's the same joy I have, you know, for being able to speak with you and put it out to my my listeners. It's a lovely chain of joy.
Well, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
Yeah. And something else I missed coming into the 70s. I'm sure you know I'm going to ask you about the Gong Show. That was an interesting twist for you. How did you get involved in that and all the shenanigans?
Well, it was just purely by accident, because of him, you know, and
Chuck Barris.
Because of Chuck, and I've known him forever, and he asked me to come on the show, and I went on, and I loved it. I could do anything I wanted to, and so. And so to me it was great fun, and I think other people had a real good time on the show too. We tried to make, after that he asked me to be a regular, we tried to make everybody feel at ease, you know, and have fun and laugh and be silly, and so that's the way it turned out.
Well, and not only the this is not only the contestants but can be silly, but you could be silly.
Oh yes, we were all silly. Yeah, everybody on the show was silly.
I mean,
it was great for us too, you know, because nobody took the show seriously, but they're doing the same show we did. They're doing it. What's the thing on Fox? American Idol, they're doing the same show we did.
you know,
they're just calling it something different.
Exactly, it just comes around again, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Only we had more fun. Those people are too serious. I've never really seen the show. I've just seen clips of it on other shows.
Yeah.
But, no, it doesn't look like anybody's having any fun.
Yeah, no, it's very over the top serious in that respect. It's like a life and death decision, you know.
God, take yourself too seriously.
Exactly.
Yeah, to me it is anyway. They can't get over themselves.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, you've seen. You were actually there. I mean, your first shows in the early part of the '50s was really the beginning of TV. Going across the country as a network, I would say.
Right. That was absolutely
the very beginning. So, and you got through to till there was satellites doing it instantly around the world.
Yes, and we did. I did an afternoon show with Robert Q. Lewis, and we did we were silly on that too. Everything that I could be silly on, I was, and it's just more fun to me, you know, and so we were one of the first to go network, and then we had the other shows like Perry Como and shows like that. We couldn't be as nutty on Perry, but we liked it anyway. I loved him. Yeah. He was a nice man.
He really was as nice as he seemed on TV?
He was a joy to be around.
Oh.
He was very relaxed and very very gentlemanly, you know, very sweet.
Oh,
very
lovely.
Considerate. Yeah.
Well, that's nice. That's beautiful. One thing, it was interesting, I was just... Because you did that duet with Eddie Albert, that Mutual Admiration Society.
Oh, yes. He's another great man. I loved him. He was really easy to get along with and very helpful, you know. He was a gentleman.
That's nice to be able to work with such nice people, you know.
Oh, yeah. It makes it so much easier.
Yeah, because it was interesting, that song, I suddenly realized it brought back, they actually lifted that. Remember the Michael Caine film, The Italian Job from the 60s?
Yes.
At the end, they actually lift that exact song from to and use it, just change the words a little bit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I suddenly realized when I was listening to it today. Right at the end there, when the bus is going over the cliff,
And
but
what, I didn't know that, my gosh.
yes,
And what picture was it from?
the Italian Job,
Oh, The Italian Job, uh-huh.
but the Michael Caine one, the original one, in from like the 68 or something.
Right, I didn't see that movie, so that's why I didn't know.
Oh, it's a really good movie. You should see it.
I
But
love Michael Caine. We did a show in London, and he was on it. And I just—he's really a nice man and talented, and he's amazing. He can play any role.
yeah.
He just knocks it off so fine. Yeah, he's really nice.
Oh, yes, he is. I love him. And that brings up, did you do much touring overseas? You mentioned London.
Yes, I did some. I did some in in France, and some in Germany, and let's see, where else? A couple of other places, and in around. It was outside of London, not in London.
Oh, okay.
But this was years ago,
Yeah.
too. Yeah.
No, it's that's yeah, those tours, that's going out to to other countries, that's a major undertaking.
It is when you have to take your own band and everything, and all your passports and all that. It can be a cluttered mess. But we had a nice road manager, and he took care of everything, so we got along fine.
Oh, that's great. Oh, one thing I know, you did a song. For some reason, I lost it. But you did a very interesting song. Really, it was almost a peace song. Brotherhood of Man.
Oh yeah.
That was an interesting one. You were sort of a sort of leading edge in really putting out, that type of message in the 50s.
Well, it happened to be a song that somebody wanted me to record it, so I did. And yeah, it was. I liked the song. I mean, it wasn't my type of song completely, but
Right.
I did it. I did it anyway, and we had a good arranger on that too, and so I enjoyed it. But that was in the 60s that I recorded that Brotherhood of Man.
Oh, okay. It was by then the 60s. Okay, I wasn't quite sure the date on that.
Late 60s,
So, you must have seen again because of the civil rights movement. You must have seen a big change, obviously, in allowing other acts coming into the circuits and things, breaking down those barriers. That must have been quite interesting for you.
It was interesting, and I had a band that had an African American conga player. And we went into the South, and we played Selma, Alabama. And the audience was so cold. I mean, we went out to perform, and I never thought anything about it.
Right.
And but this audience did not like me, and didn't like what I did because of this conga player.
Wow.
And I thought that was really cheap. And
Yeah.
I was glad, because it was such a ridiculous mindset and nothing that we understood, So we couldn't wait to get out of town. And they probably wanted us out of town too.
Exactly, yeah. Because they
Yeah.
didn't want it being shown that there was the chance that people can play together.
Yes, and enjoy it and have fun. And that's what we did. We did it any, we had fun anyway.
Right.
You know, but they didn't like it. They were very prejudiced.
Yeah, and yeah, I mean, your main were you working between LA and New York a lot? Was that your main two bases?
Yes, around, yeah, it was. Chicago,
Oh, in
you
Chicago as
know,
well.
yeah, and Boston, and all the big cities there.
Yeah. There was well, that's and that's the lovely thing. There was that circuit
Yes,
going, I suppose, wasn't there?
absolutely. And it really it went on for quite a while too, and not until the I guess the 80s that it sort of dropped off, and then we you know there were dates, but not the big circuits, not the New York and LA and all. I played all of those places,
Oh yeah.
but the places, the venues disappeared. So,
That's a good point. There were a lot in good good places, and they were too valuable as the real estate. A lot of them.
I guess they made parking lots out of it. Yeah.
That or condos, you know, something or other.
That's right.
But but it's nice now with. New technology now. Do you work with computers? Do you go do internet stuff and listen in on
Yeah.
YouTube and things like that?
I do. I don't do YouTube. I don't do any of those things, or I don't tweet because I'm not interested in conversations with people, you know, or with someone I don't know or something. You know, I'm just not interested in tweeting, or I'm not interested in telling people what I'm doing. You know, you try and get away from that, so I'm not into that, only because I don't want to be.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah.
that's it. It's easy to get sucked in once, you know, once they make it, so it is very addictive.
Yeah, and I've got too many other things to do, and I have to get out in the fresh air every once in a while.
Indeed, do you got, like to go walking? Do you go
Yes, I
walk?
do. I
Yeah.
walk every morning for about an hour and 10 minutes.
Oh, excellent. You really put me to shame. I haven't been doing that
Yeah, I walked this morning and it was freezing.
for a while. Well, Jay, wow, this has been fabulous. Do you have a message for anybody about going into showbiz or any life example of any sort? Advice?
Well, I don't like to give advice to anybody going into show business because it's tough. You know, it's a tough business and you've got to really be dedicated. And I don't like to give anybody life examples or anything because I've made a lot of mistakes in my life and I don't want to spread it around. And so, you know, just everybody have a good time is my motto.
Yes.
And I'm stuck with
Well, that's a wonderful thing to be stuck with, I think. It
Yeah,
is
me
that,
too.
yeah, that's my motto as well. Well, thank you so much, Jay. I really appreciate you talking to us here up in Northern California
Thank
at Cal's
you,
Radio.
and I enjoyed it. Thanks so much.